Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivasesha Sanyavadi Prashkati Desatarane Om Aginatamanandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Saksu Samilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam Vansakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vai Bhaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. I would like to ask you a very difficult question. Were we reading from, and what did you hear 2 days ago? Raise your hand if you can. Yes, we can even make it more difficult. Something from there. Okay, but I don't want to change the question in the middle of after your hand was raised. Yes. Chaitanya Chandramita. Do you remember anything about Chaitanya Chandramita that we heard? The ocean of mercy that Lord Chaitanya has given us. And he was very critical of those who would not accept that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One thing that I remember that struck in my mind was the lack of qualification that was required to gain the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You almost just had to have been there. That's all. Today, what we're going to do is read something else that perhaps is a little simpler to follow, but read something else about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And we'll read some, and as we did in the last class, we'll discuss it in groups, what we hear. So before we begin the reading, just find yourself a group. The group can be the two devotees, three devotees, up to four devotees, up to five devotees, but probably two or three is probably the best. Okay, so after your groups are fixed. Okay. So these keep the same group. And it would be good, as we said, if you all spoke the same language. It makes it easier to communicate. And so we'll discuss. So please listen first about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to go to Vrindavan and what happened. And see what inspires you. Many questions can come from this and many discussions. One being, what do you learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to go to Vrindavan and how he went and how it's different the way we tend to go to Vrindavan. I know one way that it's different. When one leaves one's own country or even if one lives in a city, if one flies to Delhi and then comes to Vrindavan, then often we find that our body arrives and then a few days later our mind arrives. But this old-fashioned way of going on pilgrimage is quite different because it's done by walking. And then when you walk, then you're thinking about the place that you're going. And then your mind is there before your body gets there. And then when your body finally gets there, it's so exciting. But listen to how Mahaprabhu journeyed to Vrindavan. Just let me start this so I can keep track of time. Okay. Gacchan Vrindavanam Goro Vyagre Bhaina Kaganvane. This is at the beginning of every chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he gives an introduction in the first verse that summarizes the chapter. Premo matena saho nrityam vidadhe Krishna jaupina. On his way to Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through the forests of Jharikhanda, and he made all the tigers, elephants, deer, and birds chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and dance. Thus all these animals were overwhelmed by ecstatic love. Please listen carefully. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Could you sum? Yes, thank you. When autumn arrived, Sarat Kal, so that means just at the beginning of Kartik, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan. In a solitary place, he consulted with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami. The Lord requested Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami to help him go to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I shall leave early in the morning and go incognito." Raise your hand. What does incognito mean? Yes. Without anyone knowing, disguised in such a way that no one will know, he says, that I have left. And I will take the road through the forest, and I shall go alone. I shall not take anyone with me. If someone wants to follow me, please stop him. I don't want anyone to go with me. Now, what would be a benefit of going alone? What do you think? Yeah, what do you think would be a benefit of going alone? No one's going to trouble you. Yes, but there's no one to help you either. Huh? You could be robbed, that's true. But why did Mahaprabhu want to go alone? Easier to go internal, yes. And the internal mood of completely depending on Krishna. Yes, someone can rob you, but I'm depending on Krishna. And of course, Mahaprabhu didn't have anything that anyone would take. Just depend on Krishna, not to depend on my companion, not to depend on my credit card, not to depend. This is the mood of actual sannyas. This is the path that the previous acharyas have chalked out. It's one of complete dependence on Krishna. And this is actually what we're supposed to be developing too. And this is the mood also of traveling to Vrindavan. And this is the mood that we're going to really, really have to have cultivated when that terrible time comes at the end of our life. What will we depend on? What will we depend on that will actually give us the shelter and security that we will need, especially at that time? So life, in that sense, is a preparation for leaving this world. Adishtaya manastrayam, because if our consciousness is full of thoughts of Krishna, Krishna, I have no one but you to protect me. If our thoughts are full of Krishna when we leave this world, then we will go to Krishna. What verse in the Bhagavad Gita describes that? Go ahead, the whole verse. Tyajanyante kalevaram. Only the Matajis know it. Anyway, the men, everything's okay. Don't worry. S- stop people from coming with me. Please give me your permission with great pleasure, and do not be unhappy. If you are unhappy, if you are happy, I shall be happy on my way to Vrindavan. Just the way, and actually this is based on a previous attempt that Mahaprabhu, when he was trying to go to Vrindavan, and he would say, yes, I want to go to Vrindavan, and this was his heart's fondest desire, I want to go to Vrindavan. He actually was going, as soon as he took initiation from Sri Padeshwara Puri, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. As soon as he took sannyasa initiation from Sripad Keshava Bharati, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And he was in Puri and he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And the devotees said to him, yes, you should go to Vrindavan. So when someone who has a Brijbasi mentality says yes first, you know that they mean no. Yes, you should go to Vrindavan, but just wait, it's cold there now. Just wait till the season changes and it's warmer. So then when the season changed, yes, I want to go to Vrindavan. But it's too hot there in Vrindavan now. Just wait till it cools down. And in this way, the devotees, they kept Mahaprabhu from going to Vrindavan for 2 years. And more astounding was that he was submissive to them because of their love for him and his love for them. But that brings up an interesting question, because usually we define love as putting aside one's own needs for the beloved's needs. But Mahaprabhu, the beloved, wanted to go to Vrindavan, and they wouldn't let him go. They, one could say, tricked him. So how is this understood and reconciled? My understanding is it wasn't, they didn't consult their dictionary to find out what love was. They just had so much attachment to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they couldn't tolerate him leaving. So it wasn't their intelligence defining how they should act, but actually it was their love for him. And then finally, after 2 years, Mahaprabhu says, enough of your tricking me. I want to go to Vrindavan. And then their mood changed. You are the supreme independent personality of Godhead. You can do as you like. No one can tell you what to do. So Chaitanya Charitamrita and all these bhakti literatures are full of so much sweet innuendos. So here he's telling them, please give me your permission. He's starting with that. Prasanna hai agya diva. Give me your order to go to Vrindavan. Give me your permission, but not begrudgingly, not all right, you can go, but with great pleasure, and do not be unhappy. This is his request. Be happy by the fact that my desire to go to Vrindavan is being fulfilled. And if you are happy, I shall be happy on my way to Vrindavan. Upon hearing this, Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar Goswami replied, dear Lord, you are completely independent. Since you are not dependent on anyone, we will do whatever you desire. But, dear Lord, kindly hear our one petition, our one request, our one prayer to you. You have already said that you will derive happiness from our happiness. So this is our own statement. This is what will make us happy. If you will please accept one request, we shall be very, very happy. Our Lord, please take one very nice Brahmin with you. He will collect alms for you. He will cook for you. He will give you prasadam and carry your water pot while you're chanting. When you go through the jungle, there'll be no Brahmins available from whom you can accept lunch. Therefore, please give permission for at least one pure Brahmin to accompany you. So see what they're saying. They're saying that if you say that you wish ourselves to be happy, our happiness will be something that will make your traveling to Vrindavan easier, and then we will be happy. And this we see throughout the pastimes of the great devotees, throughout the pastimes, especially in Vrindavan, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Adi 4, he explains that regardless of what it looks like the Brijbasis are doing, even if the gopis are combing their hair or looking in the mirror, they're not doing it for any other reason other than Krishna's pleasure. Everything in Vrindavan is for Krishna. Everything in Vrindavan is for Krishna. So please give permission for at least one pure Brahmin to accompany you. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I shall not take any of my associates with me, because if I choose someone, all the others will be unhappy. So everyone, this is what the spiritual world is like. Everyone is concerned about the happiness of others. What is it called when our concern is our own happiness? In one word, English word, what is that called? Selfish. And one old Bengali devotee used to say in Vrindavan, he used to say, I am the worst kind of fish. I am a selfish. And the opposite is generosity of spirit, generosity of mood, generosity of heart. And this, I would say, is what we sort of joined the Krishna consciousness movement, wishing to find generosity of spirit, generosity of heart, a spiritual mood. But since we all joined and hoping for that mood to be so dominant, we shouldn't wait for the others to take up that mood. We should just be what we like, what we hope, and not be what we don't like to see in others. We should be kind-hearted and generous of spirit. So Surabh Damodar replied to that question, or that statement of Mahaprabhu. What was the statement of Mahaprabhu's? He didn't want to take one of his own associates, because then the others would all be unhappy. He's chosen this one. He doesn't like me. No one likes me. So Mahaprabhu Swarup Damodar then said, here is Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who has great love for you. He is honest, learned, and he is advanced in spiritual consciousness. In the beginning, he came with you from Bengal. It is his desire to visit and see all the holy places of pilgrimage. In addition, so you may take another Brahmin who will act as a servant en route and make arrangements for your food. If you can also take him with you, we will be very happy. If two people go through the jungle, there will certainly be no difficulty or inconvenience for you. And that is our happiness. The other Brahmin can carry your cloth and water pot, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya will collect alms and cook for you. Does anyone know the name of the second Brahmana? I couldn't hear. No, I don't know. I was just wondering if anyone knew. Because I've never seen it mentioned who this second great soul was. So what did Mahaprabhu do? He said, I want you to be happy. Order me to go. I want to go alone. And they compromised from the other side. Yes, we'll be happy if you take one Brahmin with you to help you. And when Mahaprabhu agreed to that, they said, just one other thing, a second one who will also help. And if these two go with you, you won't have any inconvenience. And then we could honestly say that we are happy that you are going to Vrindavan. So what will Mahaprabhu do? He agreed. He accepted the request of Srup Damodar Pandit, and he agreed to take Balabhadra Bhattacharya with him. On the previous night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had visited Lord Jagannath and taken his permission. Now, near the end of night, that means very, very, very early morning, the Lord got up and started immediately. He was not seen by others. Because the Lord had departed, the devotees, unable to see him early in the morning, they began to search for him with great anxiety. There is so much to be said about the love of the devotees for their Lord. While all the devotees were searching for their Lord, Srup Damodar restrained them. Then everyone fell silent, for they knew the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to be internal. He wanted to go to Vrindavan, thinking of Vrindavan and the Lord of Vrindavan. The Lord abandoned walking on the well-known public road and went instead along a bypass. He thus kept the city of Cuttack on his right, and he entered the forest. When the Lord passed through the solitary forest, chanting the holy name of Krishna, the tigers and elephants, seeing him, they gave way. And when the Lord passed through the jungle in great ecstasy, packs of tigers, elephants, rhinoceroses, and boars came, and the Lord passed right through them, fearlessly, depending fully on Krishna, knowing that Krishna is in everyone's heart, setting the ideal example of dependence on Krishna. Not dependence on my own strength, not dependence on my intelligence, my influence, my beauty, my whatever. Dependence on Krishna. Gotripte varanam datha. And then whatever happens, there's Krishna's mercy in it. This state of consciousness is called Saranagati. Surrender. Giving oneself, a return to our actual position, a giving of oneself to Krishna, a placing of ourself in Krishna's hands. Trusting Krishna. It sounds so nice and easy, but it is an exalted state of consciousness. And when one is completely gives himself to Krishna for protection, then Krishna completely protects that devotee. But that doesn't mean that as soon as I give myself to Krishna, everything in my life should be exactly the way I want it to be. And when I'm driving in my car, the lights will always be green. And my enemy, he will always have red lights. And on and on and on like that. And I'll always be healthy and wealthy and etc., etc. No, it's not like that at all, in case you haven't noticed. No, one has to be very brave to meet one's fate in life. Because we're all individuals. This comes out with, interestingly enough, Kamsa preaches this to Devaki and Vasudev. But it's true. And they appreciated it. That one has to accept one's fate in life, but somehow see Krishna's hand, Krishna's mercy in that. Oh, there's so many stories I could mention about exalted devotees who saw Krishna's mercy in very difficult circumstance, but I want to read more. But this mood is something special. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was very much afraid to see them. Who were the them? The tigers, elephants, rhinoceroses, and boars. But the Lord passed right through them, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya was afraid. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence, all the animals stood to one side. And one day, a tiger was lying on the path. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, walking along the path in ecstatic love and chanting and chanting, he touched the tiger with his feet. And the Lord said, Kaha Krishna, and then Vyagra Utila. Krishna, Krishna. He told the tiger to chant the name of Krishna. The tiger immediately got up and began to dance and to chant, Krishna, Krishna. This was reported by Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was there. How is this possible? The Supreme, All-Powerful Personality of Godhead ordered, and thus the tiger was able to chant. Another day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bathing in a river, a herd of maddened elephants came there to drink water. While the Lord was bathing and saying his mantras, Gayatri mantras, the elephants came before him, and the Lord immediately splashed some water on the elephants and asked them to chant the name of Krishna. The elephants, whose bodies were touched by the water splashed by the Lord, began to chant Krishna, Krishna, and dance and sing in ecstasy. Probably be good if you can just envision what that must have looked like. Mahaprabhu sang Gayatri Mantra. Because they are souls, ultimately. They're not elephants. They're not tigers. They are souls. And the nature of the soul, the actual nature of the soul, is ecstasy. Ecstasy and in relationship with Krishna. That is the very nature, the constitutional position of the soul. So Mahaprabhu, by his influence, awakened the soul, awakened who they really were, and that transcended the limitations that the covering of their bodies had imposed upon them. Some of the elephants fell to the ground. Some screamed in ecstasy. And seeing this, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was completely astonished. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted very loudly, and as he passed through the jungle, the does, the female deers, hearing his sweet voice, came near him. And hearing the Lord's great vibration, the does began following him on his left side, on his right side. And while reciting a verse, with great curiosity, the Lord patted them. He patted them. And the verse is one from the Venu Gita, the 21st chapter of the 10th canto, that the gopis say, blessed are all these foolish deer, because they have approached Nanda Maharaj's son, who is gorgeously dressed and is playing on his flute. Indeed, both the does and the buck worship the Lord with looks of love and affection. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through the jungle, 5 or 7 tigers came, and joining the deer, the tigers began to follow the Lord. Seeing the tigers and deer following him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered the land of Vrindavan. He then began to recite a verse describing the transcendental qualities of Vrindavan from the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. Who knows what that chapter is about, the 13th chapter? Raise your hand if you know what that is about. Brahma steals the boys and the calves. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord. There is no hunger there. There is no anger. There is no thirst. Though naturally inimical, human beings and fierce animals live together there in transcendental friendship. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Chant Krishna, Krishna," the tigers and deer began to chant Krishna, Krishna, and they began to dance. When all the tigers and does danced and jumped, Balabhadra Bhattacharya saw them, and he was struck with wonder. Indeed, the tigers and deer began to embrace one another, and touching mouths, they began to kiss. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all this fun, he began to smile. Finally, he left the animals and continued on his way. Okay, go into your group right now and discuss what you heard in an honest way. Discuss what you heard, realizations, thoughts. So it'll take 10 minutes for this. Such amazing pastime. There's a group of four right here. Touched and influenced. It's the heart, it's the consciousness of one person that will influence another. So when Prabhupada's heart was so full of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mercy of his Guru Maharaj, the mercy of the dust of Vrindavan, the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami, this was the secret. This gave him the ability to influence the hearts of others. So because of the depth or the intensity of his own devotion, and this is the secret of preaching, it's very, very simple to understand, is that one's heart has to be fully Krishna conscious, and one has to be in devotional love and a mood of devotion to Krishna. And then that heart influences the heart of others. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the depth of his ecstasy was so intense. It was intense, and even because of its intensity, even aside from the point that he's the supreme controller, but his intensity of love, and this is the point that's being made actually, that the intensity of his love was so great, his consciousness was so deep and powerful in love for Krishna, that even tigers were dancing, and even elephants were dancing and rolling on the ground. So that's how I thought of a way to understand this incredible description. That's how deep Mahaprabhu's love for Krishna is. And this is at the heart of all of existence. This is because Mahaprabhu, he had the heart of Srimati Radharani. Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. So he was carrying the mood of Srimati Radharani's love in separation. And he was chanting, and that mood was coming out of his mouth. And the elephants and the tigers and the deers, they were so attracted, and they became ecstatic by his ecstasy. This is how Krishna consciousness spreads. So should we hear more? Because it's not over yet. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deers and tigers embracing one another, he saw all this fun and he began to smile. Finally, he left the animals and continued on his way. In some way, some of the early devotees that Prabhupada, or the early people that Prabhupada met and changed by his heart. It was really his heart that changed everyone. He was the secret of the Hare Krishna movement. He was why it was all happening, and why everyone was inspired, and why everyone is still inspired. And Prabhupada would smile when the devotees would dance. And he continued on his way. Various birds, including peacocks, saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they began to follow him, chanting and dancing. They were all maddened by the holy name of Krishna. When the Lord loudly chanted Haribol, the trees and creepers became jubilant to hear him. Thus all living entities in the forest of Jarikanda, some moving and some standing still, became maddened by hearing the holy name of Lord Krishna vibrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the intensity of one's absorption causes reactions in the consciousness of whoever hears. So if one has ever done Harinam Sankirtan in the street of a Western city, it's so interesting what happens. Is because when people see it, different people react in completely different ways. Some people can't help but joining the dancing and chanting, even though they don't know about Krishna consciousness. Some become angry. Some look at it. What is this? And some are curious, but a little bit stand away. So according to one's own consciousness, one reacts to this spiritual potency. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's consciousness was so deep, and he was so overwhelmed that even these animals who were so grossly covered, they became overwhelmed as well. Thus all living entities in the forest of Jarikanda, some moving and some standing still, became maddened by hearing the holy name of Krishna vibrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In all the villages through which the Lord passed, and in all the places he rested on his journey, everyone was purified and awakened to ecstatic love of God. When someone heard the chanting of the holy name from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone else heard this chanting from that second person, and someone again heard this chanting from the third person, everyone became a Vaishnava through such disciplic succession. Thus everyone chanted the name of Krishna and Hari, and they danced, they cried, they smiled. But the Lord did not always manifest his ecstasy. Being afraid of a great assembly of people, the Lord kept his ecstasies hidden. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not manifest his natural ecstatic love, everyone became a pure devotee simply by seeing and hearing him. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally toured Bengal, East Bengal, Odisha, and the southern countries, and he delivered all kinds of people by spreading Krishna consciousness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jharkhanda on his way to Mathura, he found that the people there were almost uncivilized and they were devoid of God consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave even the Beals, a lower class tribe, an opportunity to chant the holy name and come to the platform of ecstatic love. Thus he delivered them all. Who has the power to understand the transcendental pastimes of the Lord? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through the Jharkhanda forest, he took it for granted that it was Vrindavan. When he passed over the hills, he took it for granted that they were Giriraj Govardhan. So he saw everything through the lens of his own heart. He saw everything as if it was Vrindavan. Everything reminded him of Vrindavan. This is deep Krishna consciousness. Savatsahoya Nila Ishtadeva Sporti. Along the way, Balabhadra Bhattacharya collected all kinds of spinach, roots, and fruit whenever possible. Whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited a village, a few brahmanas, 5 or 7, would come and extend invitations to him. Some people would bring grains and deliver it to Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Others would bring milk and yogurt, and still others would bring ghee and sugar. In some villages, there were no Brahmins. Nevertheless, devotees born in non-Brahmin families came and extended invitations to Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Balabhadra Bhattacharya used to cook all kinds of vegetables gathered from the forest, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to accept these preparations. Balabhadra Bhattacharya used to keep a stock of grains that would last from 2 to 4 days, and where there were no people in the forest, he would cook the grains and prepare vegetables, spinach, roots, and fruits collected from the forest. When Jagatrini Mataji and I went to Bangladesh one time, we saw that in the remote villages of East Bengal, the people knew how to just walk into the forest and find different kinds of different shak and vegetables. So when they wanted to eat, they didn't go to supermarkets and things like that. They would just go out and pick something fresh from the forest. They knew that science, that technology. And they knew which herbs helped the health for this particular problem and which helped for that type of a problem. But very, very simple. Very, very simple. And the Lord was very happy always to eat these forest vegetables. And he was even happier when he had an opportunity to stay in a solitary place so he could relish his own internal mood. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was so affectionate to the Lord that he was rendering service just like a menial servant. His assistant Brahman carried the water pot and garments. The Lord used to bathe 3 times a day in the warm water of the waterfalls. He also used to heat himself morning and evening with a fire made of the limitless wood that was in the forest. While traveling in this secluded forest and feeling very happy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the following statement. My dear Bhattacharya, I have traveled very far through the forest, and I have not even slightly received any trouble. Mahaprabhu was saying, because you've assisted me, therefore I've been able to just keep my internal meditation, my chanting, constant chanting. You dealt with everything on the practical level. Krishna is very merciful, he said, especially to me. Now, how many of us think like that? Krishna is especially merciful, especially to me. He has shown his mercy by bringing me on this path through the forest. Going through a forest is Krishna's mercy? Well, where was he really going? To Vrindavan. And this was the path that Krishna brought him on to Vrindavan. This is an interpretation, but it's quite interesting. And he was able to eat nicely and simply. I'm sure there was no soft beds to sleep on. What to speak of Wi-Fi connections? But this was his path through the forest, and someone was helping him. And he was so thankful. This is what he said. He was so thankful. He said that Krishna is very merciful, especially to me. Again, how many of us can say things like that? But seeing Krishna's mercy in all things like this, whether they're smooth or rough, but somehow just satisfied with the simple necessities of life and people assisting us, the people who assist us in life, thinking that Krishna is so merciful as we keep on our journey to Vrindavan. By bringing me on this path through the forest, thus he has given me great pleasure. Before this, I decided to go to Vrindavan, and on the way, to see my mother on the way, and the river Ganga, and the other devotees once again, those three things Mahaprabhu had previously gone to see. And actually he had ended up in Ramakeli and saw Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. I thought that once again I would see and meet all the devotees and take them with me to Vrindavan that time. Thus I went to Bengal, and I was very happy to see my mother, the river Ganga, and the devotees. However, when I started to Vrindavan, many thousands and millions of people gathered and began to go with me. Thus, I was going to Vrindavan with a big crowd. But through the mouth of Sanatana, Krishna taught me a lesson. Thus, by making some impediment, he has brought me on the path through the forest to Vrindavan. Krishna is an ocean of mercy. He is especially merciful to the poor and the fallen. Without his mercy, there is no possibility of happiness. And Mahaprabhu was seeing Krishna's mercy in this simple of circumstances, and therefore he was feeling so happy. He was seeing Krishna's mercy, he was feeling happy, and he was happy, and he was seeing Krishna's mercy. Without his mercy, there is no possibility of happiness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Balabhadra Bhattacharya and told him, "It is only by your kindness that I am now so happy." So see this interesting point? That it's all Krishna's mercy, and Krishna has arranged this, and Krishna is doing this. But he's appreciating Balabhadra Bhattacharya, that person who is the direct person who's assisting him. So it's not like we just see Krishna, we should see Krishna's mercy and Krishna's mercy, but also in the devotees too. They're carrying Krishna's mercy and acting, we can say, on Krishna's behalf in this way. "By your kindness, I am now so happy." And Balabhadra Bhattacharya replied, let me ask you if you think this is what he said. "Thank you so much for your appreciation. Finally, you've understood how much I've done?" "No," he said, "my dear Lord, you are Krishna himself, and therefore you are merciful. I am a fallen living entity, but you have bestowed a great favor upon me. Everyone is exhibiting ideal consciousness. Sir, I am most fallen, yet you have brought me with you. Showing great mercy, you have accepted food that was prepared by me. You have made me your Garuda, although I am no better than a condemned crow. Thus, you are the independent personality of Godhead, the original Lord. The supreme personality of Godhead, and this is a famous verse that many devotees recite before giving the Bhagavatam class. Mukham karati vatsalam pangam langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande paramananda madhavam. The supreme personality of Godhead has the form of Satchidananda, Vigraha. His form, his body is composed of bliss, eternity, and knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him, who turns the dumb into eloquent speakers and enables the lame, those who cannot walk, to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. In this way, Balabhadra Bhattacharya offered his prayers to the Lord. By rendering service unto him in ecstatic love, he pacified the Lord's mind. Okay, discuss for some minutes, please. See if anything struck you, you found interesting or inspired you. Discuss, please. Okay. Hare Krishna. We don't want to leave Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of Vrindavan, so we have to move onward. Now, very soon after this interaction, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Benares. And if you remember what we had read yesterday, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met a Brahmana when he was in Bangladesh who had had a dream. And that Brahmana's name was, I heard it somewhere, Tapan Misra. And Mahaprabhu first told him to go home and chant. He gave him the goal of life, which was Krishna, and the means, the holy name. And then he told them to go immediately to Benares. And just on that short interaction with Mahaprabhu, who he understood was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this to me is quite astounding, he went to Benares. Isn't that incredible? Well, it's incredible to me that he wanted to please the Supreme. He was so pure that he wanted to please the Supreme Lord so much, he completely surrendered and did what he said. How sincere one has to be to give oneself to Krishna. He didn't say, yeah, but what about this? How am I going to maintain myself? How am I going to do this? How am I going to, who's going to take care of this? And how am I going to get there? No. He just went. And Mahaprabhu said that I'll instruct you further in Benares, in Kashi. And he said, I'll see you there. And here's the, he's going to meet him twice, and here's the first time. Mahaprabhu gets to Benares on his way of, to Vrindavan, and then he interacts with the Mayavadi sannyasis there very, very, very slightly, and Prakashananda thinks that Mahaprabhu, with his chanting and dancing, is superficial and a sentimentalist. And then Mahaprabhu, and this was very painful for Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Misra, who they were the only devotees there at that time. It was very painful. When one's beloved, the one who one's one who one loves, to hear criticism of one that one loves, even if the criticism is accurate in one sense, but it's still very painful. This is one of the aspects of love. So they had to hear this criticism that was going around the town, Tapan Misra and Chandrasekhar Acharya, and Mahaprabhu wasn't ready to perform his pastime yet of delivering the Mayavadi sannyasis. That he reserves when Sanatana Goswami is there on his way back from Vrindavan. And that part of Chaitanya Charitamrita is also wonderful. But while he was leaving, this is what he said. I have brought a very heavy load to sell in this city. To take it back again is a very difficult job. He's comparing himself to a merchant carrying a very, very heavy load. And what is his heavy load? It is prema bhakti, his love for Krishna. But he doesn't want to distribute it at this point. But on the way back, he's going to. Because say if you're a merchant and you carry something, you're going to sell it there. And then when you're going back home, you haven't sold it. No one has paid the price for what you have. But then you think, I'm going to have to carry this all the way back and there's no gain in there. So let me distribute it at a very discounted price. So that's just what Mahaprabhu says. And that's what he does with the Mayavadi sannyasis on the way back. On the way back. He says, to take it back again is a very difficult job. You just have to carry it back and all your labor of bringing it there and bringing it back. You've gained nothing. But if I can get just a fraction of the price, I shall sell it here in the city of Kashi. So the pastime of Mahaprabhu's interactions with the Mayavadi sannyasis, his preaching strategy, is quite interesting. Because we won't talk about it much right now, but what he did is he sat down there. They were having a meeting. He accepted an invitation, and he wouldn't go into the meeting. He just sat outside, but in the place where everyone washed their feet, in the dirtiest place, because he was being criticized. So Prakashananda himself came out, because Mahaprabhu was young, a young sannyasi, and he was the senior Vedantist in Kashi and Benares. So he came out, and he said, Sripad. He extended his hand to him. Why are you sitting in this dirty place? You should come and join our assembly. And he's thinking, we'll show you how to be an actual sannyasi by studying Vedanta. But what shifted his consciousness was that Mahaprabhu was exhibiting an effulgence as bright as the sun. This was his preaching strategy. And Prakashananda, who was in the mood that everyone is Narayan, everyone is God, he thought, this one, he's clearly very realized, he's so effulgent. So he said, please come in, we want to hear. We want to speak with you. We want to associate with you. And then there's a conversation that was so wonderful there. And he explained in many ways the meaning of Vedanta Sutra. But then Mahaprabhu was leaving, and after saying this, that I have brought this heavy load, and Mahaprabhu's mood was to distribute when he traveled and preached. His mood was to distribute generally. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that brahmana as his devotee. And the next morning, rising very early, the Lord started for Mathura. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started for Mathura, all three devotees started to go with him, but the Lord forbade them to accompany him. And from a distance, that was the brahmana who brought an invitation to Mahaprabhu, and there was Chandrasekhar Acharya, Tapan Misra, and naturally they wanted to go to Vrindavan with Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu wouldn't let them go. Just consider how they must have felt. Because Tapan Misra had been waiting there, because he had met Mahaprabhu right before Mahaprabhu's marriage to his second wife, whose name was Vishnupriya. And then Mahaprabhu, there was time, because Mahaprabhu started the Sankirtan movement, so he was under 20. And then 4 years passed, at least, maybe 5 or 6 years passed, and Tapan Misra was already in Benares. And then Mahaprabhu comes through, finally, after waiting years and years, he comes through finally for just a few days, and then he leaves, and he won't let them come with him. So, first of all, we could say, who can understand the plan of the Lord? And we have to be just instruments in that plan. But just imagine the internal ecstatic separation that this Tapan Misra went through. Finally, after waiting 5 years, 6 years perhaps, Mahaprabhu, he saw Mahaprabhu again, and then he left immediately, and you can't follow me. The Lord forbade them to accompany him. You cannot. And from a distance, because they followed him, from a distance, he asked them to return home. Feeling separation from the Lord, the three used to meet and glorify the holy qualities of the Lord. So this is another teaching. And we're asked again, what do we do to take the mood and the spirit of Vrindavan, or the good chanting that we do here, or the good hearing that we do here, or the mercy of Giriraj that flows to us? We should discuss with like-minded Sajatiya Vaishnava Sangha. We should discuss. Thus, they became absorbed in ecstatic love, and that the misery caused by separation was removed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Prayag, where he bathed in the confluence of the Ganga and the Yamuna. So he keeps moving. He keeps moving, and we follow his movements. But Tapan Misra and Chandrasekhar Acharya, they were there. They had to stay there. And they saw him again later. They saw him again later, in perhaps a month from there. What a relief. And he stayed there for 2 months. And then he left again. And then they never saw him again. He visited the temple of Venu Madhava and chanted and danced there in ecstatic love. And as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the river Yamuna, he threw himself into it. Balabhadra Bhattacharya hastily caught the Lord and very carefully raised him up again. And the Lord stayed in Prayag for 3 days. He delivered the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love. He delivered many people. And wherever the Lord stopped to rest on the way to Mathura, he delivered the holy name of Krishna and ecstatic love of Krishna because it was overflowing from his heart. He delivered it naturally because he was experiencing it. He was Krishna, of course. Thus he made the people dance. And when the Lord toured South India, he delivered many people. And when he traveled in the western sector, meaning this northern part of India, he similarly converted many people to Vaishnavism. While the Lord was going to Mathura, he came across the river Yamuna several times. And as soon as he saw the river Yamuna, he would immediately jump in it, falling unconscious in the water in the ecstasy of love for Krishna. When he approached Mathura and saw the city, he immediately fell to the ground and offered obeisances with great ecstatic love. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the city of Mathura, he took his bath in Vishram Ghat. He then visited the birthplace of Krishna and saw the deity Keshavji. He offered his respectful obeisances to this deity. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, danced, and made loud vibrations, all the people were astonished to see his ecstatic love. Extraordinary. One brahmana fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began to dance with him in ecstatic love. The two of them danced in ecstatic love and embraced each other. Raising their arms, they said, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Chant the holy name of Hari. Chant the name of Krishna. They said this. And then all the people began to chant, Hari, Hari. And there was a great uproar. And the priest in Lord Keshava's service offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a garland. And when the people saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing and chanting, they were struck with wonder. And they all said, such transcendental love is never an ordinary thing. Simply by seeing him, everyone is maddened with love for Krishna. Again, it was his love, his internal mood, his bhava, his consciousness was at the heart of his preaching. It was at the heart of his affecting people. There's no way around this, practically speaking. So there's no difference between the internal Krishna consciousness and the internal development of Krishna consciousness and preaching. Because you can't, Krishna Shakti Naivina Tarpavat, you can't preach without your own inspiration boiling over. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, once I saw him do this personally, imitate a book distributor and say, please take this book, he said. What's in it? What's it about? I don't know, it's for you. He said, he didn't use that funny voice, but that's what he said. I don't know, it's for you. So if one is excited about from reading the books, for instance, and about Krishna consciousness, then that overflowing naturally affects others. Because everyone is basically going through life on the mental platform and imagining that tomorrow will be better than today, or hoping. And then when one loses the hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today, one becomes hopeless, practically speaking, and depressed. And that's what depression is, other than the chemical side of it. But then, simply by seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the people said, everyone is maddened with love of Krishna. Indeed, everyone is laughing, crying, dancing, chanting, and taking the holy name of Krishna. This was his influence. The word charisma means power. A charismatic leader means power, and the internal power is what Mahaprabhu had. Certainly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in all respects the incarnation of Krishna, they said. Now he has come to Mathura to deliver everyone. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the Brahmana aside, because while he was dancing, another Brahmana came with him, and they danced and chanted together. Sitting in a solitary place, the Lord questioned him, "Sir, you are an elderly Brahmin, you are sincere, and you're advanced in spiritual life. Wherefrom you have gotten this transcendental opulence of ecstatic love for Krishna?" Because you can't get it on your own. Someone's heart has to transfer that mood, that desire, that taste into your heart. He knew that. As he was doing, as he was preaching, this person already had that mood. Where did he get it from? He wondered. Mahaprabhu wondered. He asked him. The Brahmin replied, "His Holiness Srila Madhavendra Puri came to the city of Mathura while he was on tour. While at Mathura, Sripad Madhavendra Puri visited my house and accepted me as a disciple. He even took lunch in my home. After installing the deity of Gopal, Srila Madhavendra Puri rendered him service, and that very deity is still being worshipped at Govardhan Hill." As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about Madhavendra Puri's relationship with this Brahmana, he immediately fell down and offered his obeisances at his feet. There's so much to be said. But the Brahmana became fearful. He immediately fell at the Lord's feet. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are on the platform of my spiritual master, and I am your disciple. Since you are my spiritual master, it is not befitting that you offer me obeisances." And upon hearing this, the Brahmin became still more afraid. He then said, "Why do you speak like this? You are a sannyasi. Upon seeing your ecstatic love, I can just imagine that you must have some relationship with Madhavendra Puri. He understands the science." "This is my understanding. This kind of ecstatic love can be experienced only when one has a relationship with Madhavendra Puri. Without him, even a scent, a fragrance, what to speak of the substance, even the fragrance, because the fragrance comes from the substance, and if the fragrance is sweet, just how sweet is the substance, which is the source of the fragrance? Without him, even a scent of such transcendental ecstatic love is impossible. Kahan nahi ganda." That's the cultured Bengali way of saying it is not possible. Not even the fragrance of that can touch anyone. without being connected to Madhavendra Puri. Balabhadra Bhattacharya then explained the relationship between Madhavendra Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after hearing this, the Brahmin became pleased and he began to dance. He then took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home, and out of his own free will, he began to serve the Lord in various ways. He asked Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lunch because he was a Sanodiya Brahmana, and there was very much a consideration of caste and who is higher and who is lower. Is it proper to cook for someone in this position, to cook for someone in that position? So he asked Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, the Lord smiling, and he spoke as follows. And some of you may have heard this because I just read it, but sometimes when we hear something and it really doesn't go in deeply into our conscious understanding, because the Brahmana had said, I even got to cook for Madhavendra Puri while he came to Mathura. So he asked, the Brahmana asked Balabhadra Bhattacharya, thinking himself lower, he asked Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook. And Mahaprabhu said, Madhavendra Puri has already taken lunch at your place. Therefore, you may cook and give me the food. That is my instruction. And then there's some explanation. The Brahmin belongs to the Sanodiya Brahmana community, and as sannyasi does not accept food from such a Brahmana. Although a Brahmana belonged to the Sanodiya community, Srila Madhavendra Puri had seen that he behaved like a Vaishnava, and therefore he accepted him as his disciple. The food he had cooked had been already been accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Anyway, there's so many subtleties that go on. Subtleties to teach us, because Mahaprabhu acted in such a way, such a leader, that we could follow his example and be benefited in every way. And so many of the purports of Srila Prabhupada here. But I just wanted to move. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed. He associated with this Brahmana, and the Brahmana showed him all over Vrindavan. He took him to all the holy places. They bathed in 24 ghats along the bank of the Jamuna, and the Brahmin showed him all the places of pilgrimage. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited all the holy places on the banks of the Jamuna, including Swayambhu, Vishramgat, Dirga Vishnu, Bhuteshwar, Mahavidya, Gokarnagat. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see the various forests of Vrindavan, he took the Brahmana with him. He went to Talavan. Raise your hand if you've been to Talavan. He went to Madhavan. Raise your hand if you've been to Madhavan. Kamudavan, Bahulavan, wherever he went, he took his bath with great ecstatic love. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through Vrindavan, herds of grazing cows saw him pass, and they immediately surrounded him, and they began to moo very loudly. Seeing the herds approach him, the Lord was stunned with ecstatic love. Udipan, a stimulant for ecstatic love, because even when he was outside of Vrindavan, everything he saw reminded him of Vrindavan. Every river was the Yamuna. Every mountain was Giriraj. And there he was in Vrindavan. And the cows reminded him of Gopal. Seeing the herds approach him, the Lord was stunned with ecstatic love. The cows began to lick his body, out of great affection, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to caress the cows, and the cows, unable to give up his company, went with him. It was only with great difficulty that the cowherd men were able to keep the cows back. Then, when the Lord chanted, all the deer heard his sweet voice and approached him. And the does and the bucks and came, and they saw the Lord's face. They began to lick his body. They weren't afraid of him. And they too accompanied him across the path. Bumblebees, birds, parrots, cuckoos, they all began to sing loudly on the fifth note. And the peacocks began to dance in front of the Lord. And upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the trees and creepers of Vrindavan became jubilant. Their twigs stood up and they began to shed tears of ecstasy in the form of honey. This is also described in Sri Gopal Champa when Krishna, for the first time, when it's such a long and wonderful pastime, but when they left Gokul to go to Vrindavan on Krishna inspiring Upananda. And then they crossed in their carts, and then Krishna and Balaram, who were just young, 3 or 4 years old, they jumped off the carts. And for the first time, their lotus feet touched the dust of the Vrindavan forest. And the whole forest became ecstatic, just like this. The trees stood up, the branches stood up there, like the hairs of the body in ecstasy, and honey began falling, and the creepers began doing this, and the peacocks dancing, because this is what they had been waiting for. This was the purpose of their existence, to be able to make this offering to Krishna, the offering of themselves. And I want to, what time is prasadam? 2. So we have a little bit more time perhaps before the kirtan. There's this one commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's where he describes how each soul, each living entity has a specific, unique quality. And this really is what it means to be an individual. We're all individuals. Everyone is dressed differently. Everyone has a different voice, has different likes, dislikes. We're all individuals. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this individuality is not based on our body, but we as souls have a special, one could say, gift or quality or aspect of our individuality that no one else has. No other of the countless billions and terabillions or whatever of the souls have. What's above a gigabyte is a terabyte, right? And what's above a terabyte? A what? Petabyte? Anyway, that's less frightening than a terabyte. So out of the countless petabytes of souls, each one has their own individual quality that they, who they are, one could say, that they want to offer to Krishna, the essence of their individuality. And Krishna has countless, because he wants to reciprocate with each of the individual souls, he has countless qualities that appreciate and can accept the qualities that the countless petabyte of souls offer to him. So he's unlimited to accept the qualities of the unlimited souls. So therefore, even though he has countless servants, he misses the quality that we have to offer him, the specific aspect of our individuality. So when we offer ourselves to Krishna, then we are in ecstasy, the true offering of the soul. So the Vrindavan forest, each of the trees and creepers, this is who they were. And Krishna had finally come and they were able to make their offering for Krishna's pleasure. So the same thing was happening when Mahaprabhu came. The twigs stood up. The trees, branches, and creepers, overloaded with fruits and flowers, fell down at the Lord's lotus feet. It's like at the 15th chapter of the 10th canto, same thing is described. And greeted him with presentations as if they were friends. Thus all the moving and non-moving living entities of Vrindavan became jubilant to see the Lord. It was as if friends were made happy by seeing another friend. Seeing their affection, the Lord was moved by ecstatic love. He began to sport with them exactly as a friend sports with his friends. Thus he voluntarily came under the control of his friends. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to embrace each and every tree and creeper. So each of these individuals making their offering, Mahaprabhu was accepting and appreciating and embracing each and every one. And they began to offer their fruits and flowers as if in meditation. The Lord's body was restless. Tears, trembling, and jubilation were manifest. And loudly he called out, "Chant Krishna, Krishna Bala, Krishna Bala, Bale Ucheswa, chant Krishna, chant Krishna." All moving and non-moving creatures then began to vibrate the transcendental sound of Hare Krishna, as if they were echoing the deep sound of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord then held the necks of the deer and he began to cry. He was in Vrindavan. He had been missing Vrindavan. He had been trying to get to Vrindavan. And there he was now in Vrindavan. If you want to make your pilgrimage to Vrindavan successful, start the moment you leave longing to come back to Vrindavan. When can I be in Vrindavan again? When can I have the right consciousness to be in Vrindavan? And if we're in that consciousness, then when we are not in Vrindavan, we won't get entangled in the maya, the tendency to get entangled in. All facilities are right there. Everything even works properly. But we can't cough with such sweetness outside of Vrindavan. The Lord then clasped the necks of the deer and began to cry. There was jubilation manifest in the body of the deer, and tears were in their eyes. This is how the Lord came to Vrindavan. Okay, talk for a few minutes and end your talk with prayers to Giriraj and obeisances. Oh, actually, we should. And could you chant while the talking is going on? Why not? And then join the kirtan as soon as you like. I have conflicting desires and therefore instructions. Everyone should face Giriraj and chant and pray, and everyone should talk in their groups so you can work it out.